What a wonderful time of year. It is my favorite time of year for holidays. Christmas wasn't always celebrated like we do today. It actually started as a pagan holiday. And the Christians adopted it, and they've made it what it is today. People have crazy ideas sometimes about Christmas, but I can tell you that the Christians did a better job with it. We've turned it around and we celebrate the birth of our Lord. Much like Halloween, we call it Oktoberfest. And we make meals and gather our loved ones together at the church and have fellowship. So like many of the holidays, we make good come out of them, even though maybe they weren't so hot to begin with, but they're better today. Title of the message is, I gave it two titles. God's greatest gift or a priceless present. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to share your word again today. And Lord, as I remember these that perhaps will be listening to this message by way of the internet, I also pray for you and your families as well. I pray that your hearts will also be opened and understand this message that we celebrate this time of year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you remember the excitement you felt about Christmas when you were kids? Or maybe you can't think back that far. Before the big day, you probably checked out all the tags and the gifts to find out which ones were yours. Do that. Oh, maybe you'd grab one and shake it, trying to guess what was inside. Some of you laughing, you probably did that too. I know we get to snooping around the house to see where they were. Oh, I bet you didn't do that. Well, we snooped around. And boy, we wouldn't dare get caught because they'd be returned. Know about you, but in my home, we knew who Santa Claus was. It's mom and dad. We knew who it was. If you choose to play Santa Claus with your little ones, that's up to you. I don't see no problems with it. Just when they get older, they need to understand who the real Santa Claus is. It's mom and dad who loves you and takes care of you. Well, with the passing of time, we all get older. Our excitement regarding Christmas changes. Our reason for celebrating grows much deeper and more meaningful through the years. Our focus shifts from gifts to Christ. Jesus is a reason for the season. Now the tree reminds me of the tree that Jesus died on to pay for our sins. The lights testify that he is the light of the world. And the gifts are a shadow of the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus Christ. So what can we say about this priceless present? I don't have one, two, or three things. I'm just going to make comments today about this priceless present. The giver of this amazing gift was God the Father. Our Lord's life didn't begin when he was born or even when he was conceived. You see, he existed from eternity past. We read that in John's gospel, do you recall? Let me go back to what we read. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Roger, you're going the wrong direction. Here we go. All right. I want to read the first verse. In the beginning. That's in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, there's a lot in that verse. The Word was with God. That's the incarnate Christ. He was with God. The Word was God. Now, there's a part that's a bit hard to maybe perhaps understand. We have one God, but we have three personalities that represent the one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one God. I believe that he did it for a reason. Many of us who have fathers can understand the relationship you had with your father, and maybe you didn't have a good relationship, and I'm sorry if that was the case. But most of us had a fairly wonderful relationship with our father. And if you understand that relationship, you understand the relationship we have with God the Father. You see, throughout the scriptures, it says that an earthly father knows how to give good things to his children. How much more does your heavenly father want to give you good gifts? How much more? So we see that the Lord was incarnate. He was in the very beginning. He was with God. If you read even further, I could make a message just on that, but if you read further, it says, let us create man in our image. Both times the words are plural. Let us make God in our image. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The way you can tell in the Old Testament is there's times that the incarnate Christ appeared. He appeared in probably an angelic form. Most of the times in the Old Testament, when those who seen an angel, you can tell by the reading whether it was the incarnate Christ or if it really was an angel. If it was really an angel created by God, and those people who seen the angel would try to worship or fall down and worship this angel, the angel would say, don't do that. I'm like you. We can't receive worship. Angels can't receive worship from us. There's only one that can receive worship, and that's the incarnate Christ. If you remember when Jesus was debating with the Pharisees, he said that, you think this is something? Let me tell you this. Before Abraham was, I am. How can you be before Abraham? You're only but 30 years old. You're Joseph's son, the carpenter. How can that be? Well, he said, before that, I was before Abraham. In fact, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, is what's recorded for us. He rejoiced to see my day. Obviously, Jesus was one of the angels that visited with Abraham when God sent judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. He was one of the angels that came and visited with Abraham. Only he was angelic form then. Okay? So, in the beginning, he was Word. And what's wonderful is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what our celebration is this time of year. The Word came and dwelt among us. He existed from eternity past as a member of the Trinity. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son born of a woman, Galatians 4:4. And the reason the Father gave his son was because he loved us. He wanted us to have eternal life with him. I see another thing. I follow an outline, but I see something else that's not in the outline. What else he wanted was fellowship. You see, in the garden, God fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. He fellowshiped with them. And what happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate of the tree that was forbidden to eat of? That fellowship was broken. And it has been broken ever since. That's why when Jesus was getting ready to leave in John chapter 14, and he had this conversation with the disciples, he said, I must go. He said, I am going to prepare a place for you, he told his disciples. Now, the reason that he was going to prepare a place for you is because I want you to be with me so that where I am, you may want, you may be also. That was his desire. You see, he wants to restore fellowship. Why wouldn't a creator want a fellowship with his creation? That was his desire all along. It wasn't his plan for what Adam did, but he certainly knew what Adam was going to do. And you see, he already began to put a plan in place because God's all-knowing. He knew that. He knew what man was going to do. But God has desired to have fellowship ever since he created us. He wants to have fellowship with us. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. This gift from heaven came humbly wrapped. Instead of coming in a grand display of glory, he quietly was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin. Angel told Joseph, "Don't you worry about this, Joseph, for that which Mary has conceived is of the Holy Spirit. So you be sure to take her as wife. She's okay. She's all right, Joseph. You take her." Because remember, Joseph was thinking about this. He was troubled by it. What's people going to think? My wife's pregnant. I didn't have nothing to do with it. And as he was thinking about that, the angel came to him and said, "Joseph, don't you fear. Don't you be fearful about this. What's happening with Mary is of God. So you take her as your wife. You go ahead and take her." He had no social or economic standing. The setting of his birth was very lowly. The only shelter that Mary and Joseph could find was a stable. On that night, in a straw with all the smells of the animals nearby, the Son of God was born. He retained his full deity, but yet he took on the limitations of humanity, and he entered the world as a tiny, helpless baby. Think about that. God Almighty, the creator of all living things, emptied himself of his power and became as man because he loved us. He wanted to redeem us back. He wanted to have fellowship with us again. He missed having fellowship with us. He wanted to restore all that. Jesus was that perfect sacrificial gift. He certainly probably looked like any of the other Jewish babies. But you see, there was one big difference. He was the sinless Son of God who had come to earth to rescue sinful humanity from condemnation and eternal punishment. It was what was needed as a ransom, someone who could pay the penalty for our sin so we could be forgiven. There was no human being that could be qualified to do this because we are all sinful and can only die for our own sins. But Jesus was the only sinless human being. Isn't any wonder the devil keeps trying to make it look like he was not sinless? Because you see, he would destroy the Lord's deity. That's why there's such an attack on it. The devil's trying to destroy his deity. Make no mistake, Jesus was sinless. He was born of a virgin. We couldn't pay for our sin because we were sinful. So Jesus was the only sinless human. Only he alone could die for our sins. That's why he said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. He came to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Indeed, he was the perfect, perfect sacrifice. He was the Lamb. Remember what John the Baptist had to say when Jesus was coming to be baptized that day? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God." Revelation speaks of him being the Lamb. When we had our study in Revelation, we found that Jesus has all his scars. Because the scripture said in Revelation, remember, he appeared as a lamb to the slaughter. That's what was spoken of in Revelation. He looked as a lamb to the slaughter. That means he has all his scars. He retained all his scars that he took for you and me. You know what that's for? To remind us of the high price that was paid for our redemption. He has all those scars. He has the scars in his hands. He has the scar in his side. He has the scars in his forehead from that terrible thorny crown. They said, if you're a king, you should look like a king. So they adored him with a crown of thorns and a purple robe. If you're a king, then you should look like one. And they made a mockery of him. They spit on him and plucked his beard. And if that wasn't enough, then he was whipped. Whipped. 39 stripes in his back. You turn his back around, his back is still scarred. He still carries the scars of the whipping. All for you and me. I like that new song they have. The only one that has, there's no scars in heaven. Did you hear that yet? How many of you heard it? Isn't that a beautiful song? You got to hear it, Jeff. It's beautiful. No scars in heaven. The only scars in heaven are the ones who holds you now. What a powerful song. What a powerful song. Wow. Just brought to my memory that. What a beautiful song. The Son of God is the most precious gift ever given. You know, we usually consider something valuable based on its cost. Or maybe its origin. For some, it could be an expensive car. Maybe for others, it could be an heirloom from grandma. An heirloom that's very precious to you. When you visited grandma, you always remembered seeing it in her house. She had it there. You know exactly where she placed it. And now you might be privileged to have that. How beautiful and precious is that to you? Or maybe you have something your grandma had and you find out that somebody saw it somewhere. Maybe somehow it got sold at the sale and someone said, hey, by the way, I seen this somewhere. And when you find out about it, what would you do? Probably do everything you could to go get it and go buy it, wouldn't you? Now listen to me. What a beautiful parallel of what Jesus did for us. He bought us back. He bought us back. He loved us so much. We're precious to him. He bought us back. He did everything he had to do to get us back. Jesus is precious. He left his Father and the glories and perfections of heaven to live among sinful people here on earth. Jesus was truly Emmanuel, God with us. Just thought of another good title. God's presence is more important than the presence that you receive at Christmas. Did you catch that? I said God's presence, him being with us, his presence is more important than the presents that are under the Christmas tree. His presence is so important. So much better. God's gift is eternal. Many of the presents that will open on Christmas Day quickly become old and useless. Toys break. They're soon outgrown. Clothing wears out. Becomes outdated. And even the newest electronic gadget is destined to become obsolete. It don't matter what you get electronically. Next year, they'll have something bigger and better. Don't matter what kind of cell phone you have, the next one will have more gigabytes than the one you just got. Isn't that the truth? You see, that's what happens with material things. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ and the salvation he offers will never change, nor will it pass away. He's changeless. He died on a cross. He overcame death. And his resurrection, and he lives forevermore. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when we accept him as our Savior and Lord, we too will live forever with him in heaven. So this gift is both personal and it's universal. Jesus came to offer himself as a sacrifice for sins to all who would believe in him and call on his name for salvation. In Romans chapter 10, I'd like to read that. I have it marked here. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 11 through 13. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, I don't believe in the election. I believe God knows who's in the election, but I believe that the offer is to all, to whomsoever will call upon him. Not to some elite group, but to all who will call on him. His salvation is offered unto all. This gift must be personally received. It's one gift that we can share with others and keep for ourselves. And each time we explain to someone who Jesus is and how he came to save us from our sins, we are offering them the gift of Christ. You'll probably receive many gifts during your lifetime. But the one who arrived on that first Christmas night in a stable is the only one that really matters. Although you can't see or touch him, someday you will. But for right now, he said, I must go. But if I go, he said, I will send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, I must go so that he will come and be your comforter. And he's come and he's been here. And he is still your comforter. Are you taking advantage of your comforter? He sent the Holy Spirit for you to be your comforter. Do you need comfort? I think if there's ever been a time in our life, we certainly need his comfort now. He's always with you. I trust that you invited him into your heart as your Savior. He will love you unconditionally. He will cleanse you from all your sins. And one day he'll bring you home to himself in heaven. It is no wonder that the Apostle Paul exclaimed, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Christmas is one of the most meaningful holidays we celebrate because it's all about Jesus. We each have many wonderful Christmas traditions. So let's always keep Jesus at the center of our celebrations and never forget to share this indescribable gift with others. Would you bow your heads? I want to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it was indeed today to share your word on this time of celebrating your birth. And Lord, I want to also pray for these that will be listening to this message by way of internet. I pray for them right now and their families. For whatever reason, it's difficult for you to assemble with other believers in places of worship. I pray that this message will touch your heart today. And I pray if you're without Jesus today, please take a moment and invite him to come and live in your heart today and live for him from this day forward. Invite him to come. Remember that your decision is your destiny. So decide today. Today is the day of salvation. And accept him into your heart today so that you'll be able to also live with him for eternity along with your loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.